Welcome back to the Bellied Up podcast, everybody. We are bellied up.
Yeah, Miles. Yeah, we sure are.
We're Charlie's over here too.
We're here at Duffy's in Fargo. It's the oldest Irish bar in all of Fargo. It's a nice place here, Miles.
I really enjoy it.
It is the second week of Advent. Light the second purple candle, not the pink one.
I would never.
Miles, you know, it's close to St. Nick's Day. Stocking stuffers are going on. Did you hang up stockings growing up for St. Nick's Day when you were a kid?
We did.
Did you?
Question, though, about the Advent wreath.
Yeah.
Are you a candle rotator? Because obviously the first candle is going to get burnt more. Do you rotate them?
No, absolutely not. Yeah. How dare you? In fact, it's sacrilegious to do so.
I didn't know.
Have fun burning in hell, Miles. That's a bummer.
Anyways, we hung stockings. What do you mean?
We did.
Yeah,
we did. I always enjoyed it. It was always a fun time because it was the precursor to Christmas, you know. And sometimes, though,
I mean, you guys had to have quite the mantle at your house to fit all the stockings on that.
And my mom made the stockings. It was really cool. Sometimes, though, St. Nick would get a little funny and leave oranges in the stockings, which I thought, you know, I like citrus as much as the next guy. But, you know, when St. Nick's clearly just taking from the fridge and putting in the stocking.
Clearing out the old freezer inventory.
I got a
year and a half old tenderloin. Yeah.
Is this deer tenderloin?
Freezer burnt corn. Yeah. My favorite.
Yeah. Well, I better go put this down the freezer, you know.
Yeah. Right back.
It's good. It's all about the presentation after all. Miles, you know, we are at that time of the year when people are driving around on these slick Midwest roads, and not a lot of people are very familiar with how to drive in the winter. And even those who are find themselves needing a refresher course.
Yeah, it's almost like you got to relearn how to ride a bike every year. Mm-hmm. You know, driving on the winter roads is not like riding a bike.
No, it is not. So what are our top tips for driving in the winter?
Number one, you don't need to be speeding.
No, drive slow enough so the person in the front seat could fillet a walleye and not accidentally circumcise themselves.
That's well said, Charlie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would say number two, make sure you're packing supplies.
Yeah.
You got to have survival stuff in the old car because it doesn't matter how safe of a driver you are. Sometimes you hit that black ice, you go spinning into the ditch. You might be out of town. Last thing you want to do is run out of food and water and not have a shovel to dig yourself out.
Yeah,
and
a nice warm blanket.
Exactly. Extra clothing, the whole thing.
Yeah. Get yourself some peanuts.
What would be the last thing, Charlie?
Well, I would say now if you have yourself a pickup truck of sorts, a little extra weight in the back can go a long way.
Mm-hmm. So, I had to do that with my Dodge Dakota Sport that I drove in high school.
Yeah, it wasn't a four-wheel drive vehicle, was it?
It was.
Okay, well, either then, yeah, it's still
too light in the back.
Too light in the back. And you can do this not just with a pickup truck, but with a sedan. As well, even a minivan. Get yourself some sand. Get yourself some salt that you have for the salt brine. Just stock up on that stuff and keep it in your car instead of in your basement. It'll add a little extra weight to give a little more traction to those back tires. And I think that's some good tips.
Yeah, drive like your grandma's in the car.
Drive like your grandma's in the car. You know, holding
unless you guys are going to the casino and she's going to want you to drive a little faster.
Yeah, so, she is. Yeah. Yep.
Like you're driving your grandma to church, not the casino.
Yeah, exactly. Very true. Very true. Grandma Sue likes to gamble. Does your grandma like to gamble?
My grandma did like to gamble. She was slots only.
Just a slots gal. Same with my grandma.
Yeah. I think it's a grandma thing.
Grandmas love them slots.
I mean, really, it's just like us liking pull tabs, though. So it's same church, different pew.
Same church, different pew, exactly.
That actually would probably get people to go to church more, too.
If after you have church, pull tabs?
I promise you pull tabs and slot machines in the common area.
Yeah.
I think you probably get a lot more people coming to church.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's anything in the Bible that says you can't gamble in church.
Yeah.
No.
Just gambling outside of church is frowned upon, but they never say anything about it in church.
Yeah.
Then maybe, then maybe you'd have less cheesters. You know what I'm talking about?
Cheesters?
The C and E's. The people.
Oh, yeah. Christmas on. Easters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember growing up, it was always like, you know, you go to church every Sunday throughout the year, and then the cheesters would show up. And I remember my parents just being like,
yeah, they get,
we can't sit in our normal spot way in the back now because the cheesters are here.
We got all these other people here, you know.
Oh, I hate it when people come to church. Yeah. You know, it's like
the parking's bad.
Yeah. And every Christmas and Easter, the sermon would not be about what the reason for the season. It would just be the priest scolding everyone for not coming the rest of the year.
Well, nice to see all of you here today.
Yeah.
Would be great if you were here for Advent.
It was always, you know, that Jesus wants you to be around more than twice a year, you know, that type of talk.
Guilt everyone into donating a little more.
Yeah, they probably gave up at some point trying to get people to come, so they're just trying to milk it for all it is. Yeah. They do like 4 collection baskets.
Try to leave them wanting
more.
They
do it as you're walking in. Like, they think they're getting a program, but they actually cost money to get a program. That's actually a good
idea. That's not a bad idea at all. Something's got to pay for the boiler. You ever have a confession so bad you didn't want to say it in church, Miles?
Like?
To a priest in the confessional?
Yeah.
Do you lie to a priest in the confessional?
Yeah.
Me too. Every time, actually.
Dude, I went to Catholic school for 13 years. You think I've never lied to a priest? Are you kidding me?
Some about lying to a priest in the confessional is just so funny.
Well, it's a high-pressure situation, dude. Sometimes you panic.
I know. Wait, you want me to tell you the whole truth? I can't say that. God's right over there. Anyways, folks, we're going to take some callers.
Merry Christmas season to everyone.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Make sure you get to your confession.
Hey.
And leave a tip.
Yeah. The best time to get a seat at church is the Sunday after Christmas.
Oh, yeah. It's a ghost town.
Sprawl out.
People have gotten there.
Yeah. All right, so we take some callers?
Yeah, let's do it. Ho, ho, ho. Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Who we got on the horn?
Hey, it's Ryan.
Ryan.
Nice to speak with you.
Nice to speak with you, too, Ryan. Where are you calling in from, guy?
Well, I'm calling in from Minneapolis, originally from Kansas, but I've been going through law school up here in the Twin Cities.
Okay. We got a man of the law here.
A legal fella.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what can we
get in there at least?
Yeah, belly up to this bar. Tell us what we can help you with in the old legal world.
Well, you know, I just wanted to know if you two, if I waved a magic wand and you two were masters of the Midwest and you could pass any law that you wanted, what law would you pass and what would it do?
This is a great question, Ryan. If we could pass any law in the Midwest, what would it be? Fantastic question. Miles, you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
I'm going to tell you this right now. If you are an establishment of any sort, I don't care if it's a gas station, I don't care if it's a grocery store, I don't care if it's a food depot, do not advertise your business upon the highway at an exit sign. If I then get on the exit ramp and it puts your business more than 1.1 miles off of the highway, that is false advertising, and I have a problem with you. And I'm putting that distance at 1.1 miles because I understand that sometimes You know, you need a little give. It really should be half a mile. But don't go advertising your business if your thing is 2 miles off the highway. That just that gets my goat, Miles. Really fires me up in the belly of the old soul, you know? Anyways, Miles, what's your law?
I'm trying to think of one. I think you should just be able to drink about anywhere.
Yeah? Really,
Miles? Oh, yeah.
Like in a preschool, you think that's okay?
No, I just said just about anywhere.
Okay, well, let's...
And I didn't say to lower the drinking age, Charlie. I just said if you are of legal drinking age, you should be able to drink at most places.
Okay. Name one place,
like
Miles.
Like the fact that you can't drink at college football games in some places, that's insane.
In Wisconsin, you can drink at those games.
I know, it's only in some spots that you can't, but it
well,
should be that
Charlie,
way.
Well, to be fair.
To be fair, what?
To be fair, Charlie, I feel like in Wisconsin, you could probably drink just about anywhere.
That is true.
Yeah, that is true. Well, Wisconsin.
I was down at a Hy-Vee in Nebraska, and you can drink beer and walk around and shop.
That's pretty cool.
So that triggered in my mind, well, we should just have this at all the grocery stores and everything like that.
That is pretty cool. Perhaps so that, you know, I'm trying to think of places where you probably shouldn't be able to do. Well, do you think in court you should be able to drink, have a beer in court?
Yeah, maybe then people would be. Maybe then people will be a little more honest. We can get to the thing faster instead of having this long, drawn-out court stuff.
Yeah. Well,
what do you think their law should be?
Me?
Yeah, what law would you pass?
Oh, man, you're turning the tables on me. I would say, you know, we just make it a legal fact that Kansas is part of the Midwest. I know that debate has been on this podcast before, but you know, for me, it's an indisputable fact. And being up here in the Twin Cities, there have been occasions when folks in my class will be like, "Oh, you know, you're kind of from the South," and I'm very opposed to that notion. So yeah. That would probably be mine. Just
done. I think we already passed
clarifying
that.
Yeah, that
I know you all did.
That is for sure passed, and people should not be saying that to you. That should be sort of one of those no-nos in the workplace. It should be illegal to harass somebody about their Midwest credentials.
I got a question for you about law school.
Yeah.
What is the worst part about law school?
Oh, God. I mean, probably the reading. It's just, especially that first year, it's just so much reading. And then you kind of come to class and the professor gives you like the main takeaways and you're like, okay, so I read how many hundreds of pages that were essentially worthless, you know, but honestly, otherwise I like the people in law school. They're a great bunch, but the
really?
Reading and oh yeah. I mean, you know,
I feel like I've met is kind of dry and it seems like it would be like, not that fun.
Yeah, I didn't say that they're the most fun. I mean, they're great people, but no, they're great. I mean, I think our law school, Minnesota, is maybe different than some other law schools where we just kind of are a little more friendly and collegial. But yeah, no, I would say just there's a lot of sort of formalities that don't really need to be part of the legal experience in law school.
What kind of lawyer are you trying to be?
That was my question, Miles.
Sorry.
God, I've been waiting
you
so
guys,
patiently. What kind of lawyer do you want to be?
That is a phenomenal question, boys.
Let's figure it out now.
He's classic. You got the lawyer filibuster thing going on. You can never just be like, this is what the answer is. That is a phenomenal question.
Yeah, he's running out the clock.
I tell you what. Yeah, he's just milking. Are we being billed for this, by the way?
Yeah.
Are we
going to
get an invoice in the mail?
Well, 6-minute increments, boys. So, and I round up.
Yeah, we know.
But,
Well, that's a phenomenal question. You see, it actually reminds me of a study of this that happened when I learned it in law school, and just goes on and on.
And that's why you read all those hundreds of pages, so you can rattle those off and tick up the bill.
Honestly, he just has to read a lot to learn longer words so he can get more billable hours.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I mean, if you could wave a magic wand on your end and give me like a job today in my dream legal field, it would be working with journalists and folks like that and protecting their rights. So I studied journalism for grad. But,
me too.
That would definitely be like
What does that mean? Give me an example of something you'd like to do. Like,
I give you an example. So I was covering this thing in Minneapolis or St. Paul, and I was covering the convention there, 2008, and I got arrested, and then they had my camera for 2 weeks. 2 weeks they had my camera after getting arrested for covering this protest. So he would have come in and been like, yo, give him his camera back, and no, you're not charging him with this misdemeanor.
Is that the correct example?
Yeah.
That's a fantastic example, actually. I have been doing research on it.
You were arrested for being a journalist?
Yeah, I was arrested covering the protests. Yeah, the police surrounded everyone. They put an issue to disperse. People are then supposed to disperse. But the way it goes in journalism is you stay there and you're allowed to cover the story, your press, da-da-da-da. But they just arrested everyone.
Mm-hmm. Is it because you were kind of just dressed super normal? Probably. You didn't look official at all?
Well, they said... Their excuse was people were making credentials on Photoshop.
Why would they go to the links for that for just a protest?
So
I don't know.
So they could cause havoc and then not get arrested. You know? Yeah.
So as a lawyer, do you think that Charlie has a case that he can win?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the unfortunate thing is, as a matter of constitutional law, that's not where we're at, but jurisdiction to jurisdiction, there are protections. And I think Minneapolis is moving in that direction, especially after the reporting in 2020 as well. So hopefully that just becomes more of a protected activity moving forward.
Well, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. That's a great line of work you're getting into. That's cool. Well, why can't you do that? That sounds good. Just go down that road.
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of those jobs are the coast, and being a Midwestern body, I don't really want to live off on either one of the coasts.
Yeah.
I would prefer to stay in the Midwest, and those opportunities are a little fewer and further between in the middle of the country.
Well, that
plus I'm married.
Go ahead.
Yeah, married and have a kid and want to stay somewhat close to family that's all mostly in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Free babysitters. I get it.
It's also maybe not a good business plan either. I don't think that journalists, unless you're the top dogs, have a lot of disposable incomes, from what I've learned.
Not a ton. No. Yeah.
So that what would be your second choice then?
So I've been interviewing a few places, but I also am interested in sort of public interest type work, working for the government and anything like that. So I've been interviewing, don't want to jinx anything, but I'm hoping to hear back soon about a position in government.
Okay. The last thing I'm going to ask you is give me something that I can use anytime I get into an argument. Give me your like top three things on how to win an argument as a lawyer.
Okay. Number one is plead the fifth. You just stonewall them. Silence. If they're not taking that, then number two is you go the complete opposite direction and just throw a bunch of words at them.
Yep.
Talk endlessly, as I was doing earlier. You know, you just filibuster, as you were saying.
Yep.
You got to go on and on. Don't let them get a word in edgewise. Number three, let's see. I guess number three would be you actually have a good legal argument and then you bring that to the table and then you beat them. But, you know, barring that, you just either stonewall them and plead the fifth, and or you go the opposite direction and just ramble the whole time.
Well, Charlie's got the rambling down. I mean, maybe you should have been a lawyer.
Yeah.
I know. I was thinking about it for a little bit in there.
You could have been a lawyer for the DNR and then just been just filibuster on talking about fishing lures and stuff.
What do you think the biggest, how far into law school are you in? How many years?
My last year, a three-year program, so number three.
All right. So if someone were to, you know, kind of get busted with sort of a public intoxication thing, what do you recommend they do if they are being apprehended by an officer of the law?
Well, I would say you probably don't want to run from the law. That doesn't usually end very well.
What if you're fast?
But I would also
what
say,
if you're fast? or what if you can tell that the cop is slow?
I guess I should clarify. Are you running on foot? Because then that throws a whole different equation into it. You know, then you're drunk. But I would say probably don't run and then call a lawyer, because I am not officially a lawyer yet, so I can't give any legal advice.
That was a trick. Guys, that was a trick. I knew he couldn't give legal advice, so I was trying to throw a softball over the plate, see if he swung. You know what he did?
He almost got disbarred before he took the bar.
He did, but what did he do there? He filibustered. He didn't plead the fifth. He knew he was on a podcast. Couldn't just stay silent.
It's a classic lawyer move to not commit to anything. He couldn't just say, don't run.
Oh, yeah.
He said, you probably shouldn't run.
A lot of qualifiers.
Yes. You know, in historical experiences, it's probably not a smart thing to run, but I can't tell you for sure. How'd I do there? Was that pretty good?
Exactly. That was great. You know, you should enroll in law school too.
It's kind of one of those things. No, it's kind of one of those things where you learn a lot about it because you get irritated by something, right? So something that irritates you. You then learn a lot about it, and all of a sudden you're actually like now in the thing. Talking to lawyers is one of those things for me. Very frustrating. Can't get a straight answer out of anyone.
No. Then you start Googling why is that the case.
Yeah. In law school, that's why professors always throw around, it depends.
Yes.
That is the quintessential legal phrase, is it depends.
Yeah. Final question for you, and this is more of like just a curiosity question by me. Are you worried about, I mean, I guess when what you're doing, it doesn't matter, but are lawyers starting to get a little antsy about artificial intelligence and ChatGPT coming along and writing contracts for people?
Yeah. Yeah, they are very antsy. I actually, there are professors at my law school, the University of Minnesota, who have done research on it because they're very, they're very antsy about it, but I would say, you know, it's probably just another tool that's going to get used and people are going to figure out how not to abuse it. But professors are especially worried about people using it on testing. So I would say it's something people are concerned about.
I like that. I like making a lawyer nice and squirmy.
If they're concerned, you know, you're onto something, Miles.
Exactly.
So there you have it. Well, this was really slick. Thank you for calling in and chit-chatting with us.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me, you guys. It's been fun. I love the podcast. I listen to it a lot. And, you know, it makes me happy that you both at campus is part of the Midwest.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's very kind of you, and we are honored that you listen to us and keep doing the good work. Good luck in your career.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Before we jump off, I have maybe a short question.
Sure.
And I'll limit it to one, not three things, unfortunately, and not three top things, unless you want to go down that route. But I mentioned earlier, I'm a dad, so give me your top Midwest dadism that I need to pick up.
Oh, that's good. Well, I think, how old is your kid?
She's 3 years old now, so she's crazy.
Okay. Is she holding flashlights for you yet?
Not quite yet, although I'm sure she'd love to. She loved when we were camping to keep turning on the camp light and, of course, keep us from actually falling asleep for a while. So there was that.
She's got potential then. I think the next time you got to fix your sink, you have her hold that flashlight. Make sure she holds it straight.
Yeah, there's no other bonding between a father and his kid like screaming at him to hold the flashlight right.
Yep.
That's how relationships are really got strong bonds.
And anytime you're doing a household project, you can't give them the layout of what you're doing. You just have to give them directions on how to help you. And you can't tell them when it's going to be done. You just have them there. Mm-hmm. And they cannot complain about it because they have a warm bed. They have a roof over their head and they got 3 square meals a day.
Yep. And if they don't give them any information, like Charlie was saying, and then get mad at them when they don't know what to do without you telling them.
Exactly. Do not teach them righty, tighty, lefty, loosey. But when they go lefty, when they should go righty, just say, how do you not know this?
Didn't anyone teach you this?
Didn't anyone teach you this? And you got to do it the first time. The first time.
Yeah. All right.
So there you
go,
man.
Great advice.
Yeah. Well, it was real good talking to you now. And tell your wife, tell your daughter we says hi, and you guys all watch out for deer, okay?
Oh, will do. Tell your folks I says hi, Charlie and Miles.
Will do.
Will do. Bye-bye now.
Lawyers are fascinating to me. It's just a whole different breed of human.
It is. You can spend a lot of money on a lawyer.
You know, as running a business like we do, Charlie, I got a whole cabinet full of lawyer documents, but only one little sleeve for everything else. So what does that say?
I know. They do love the English art form.
We all make fun of lawyers until we need one, right, Charlie?
Yeah, and then we're happy we have one.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, this is Evan.
What little tune were you singing, Evan?
I'm pulling up to Menards right now, so I'll save big money at Menards.
There you go.
Well, welcome to the Belly Dump Podcast. Yeah. I see you're in a good mood today. What's on your mind? What are you doing?
I got to go. I'm picking up some socket wrenches for my work at Menards. They only had a little bit of what I need at Home Depot, so I'm going to go to Old Reliable here second. Should have came here first.
Yeah, what kind of socket are you looking for?
16 millimeter, but
nice.
How
we're building a Christmas tree in St. Paul.
You're building a Christmas tree?
It's going to be a giant. Yeah, well, it's like a big like metal frame with like the fake brand. It's obviously a fake tree, but it's like 30, 40 feet tall.
Oh, that's a cool game.
We did it last year in like Rice Park, St. Paul for Salvation Army. So.
Oh, nice. Some good holiday work. Keep you honest. I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, belly up. What's on your mind?
The reason I called you guys, looking for weight loss advice. I know you guys probably won't be the best people to go to, but I feel like reach out, see if there's any tips you guys got going for me.
Now, why would you say that? Why would you say that we're not the people to go to?
Not to poke fun. I mean, I'm a bigger guy. Miles, you're obviously a larger male too. Trying to pick my words here. I'm not trying to be. I don't know. But
what about Charlie?
I'm just going to stop digging myself a hole here.
Is he also a large man?
No. He just seems like the kind of guy who will eat whatever he wants and I'll stay the same weight.
That's true.
That might not be true, but.
No, that's true.
That is true. Okay.
No, I'm just messing with you. Yeah, okay. I know. I've. Let's just say I got a little more insulation going into the winter than other people. You know, that's what I call it.
Yeah.
So you're looking for weight loss.
No, advice. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Yeah. Well, thing is I've lost 40 pounds, but I've come at like an impasse where I've just plateaued for the last like month. I haven't been able to lose anything else.
How did you lose the first?
So it's more of, I just kind of stopped eating like shit, you know, just not going out eating fast food or. Try not to drink as much, which is difficult because, you know, I live in the Midwest. I'm in Burnsville, Minnesota. I guess I didn't say that. So I have a lot of friends who like to go out drinking, which is kind of my crutch right now is going out on weekends and grabbing a couple beers that turns into like 2-3 beers turns into 10. And sure enough, all the weight you lost during the week kind of goes. You just gain it back on the weekend kind of thing.
Well, I think we identified the culprit. You are in luck, though, because you called up to talk to an exercise scientist. That is Miles Montplaisir.
So here's a question for you. It sounds like you're getting some wrenches. So are you in a trade of some sort? Are you an active guy at your job or you sit behind a desk?
Yeah, no, I'm on my feet a lot. So, that's helped me with my weight loss journey. I am working in a warehouse. As you guys have gone through in a previous podcast, I do operate a forklift, in quotation certified. So, it's that kind of work. We'll go out and do different events for companies too. So I'm just kind of on my feet walking back and forth a lot, but there's only so much that they can do.
How many meals a day are you eating?
That's another thing I've tried to be more regulatory with. I'll try to keep it like about 3 smaller meals, maybe 4. You know, like do a similar breakfast every single day.
Yeah, I mean, like, just trying to keep it down to like 4, 5, 6 meals a day. You know, I'm not doing anything crazy like 8 or 9. where I would just start. I mean, if you're, my guess is you're not, I don't want to assume here, but you're not probably wanting to get on a treadmill, are you?
That's the other thing. I've been working out like 2 to 3 times a week. It's just, I think it's more of how do I go about trying to lose weight while also having a social life?
Well,
and like going out drinking, having those empty calories.
Yeah, I think you gotta just start
still being
cocaine.
Able to enjoy myself.
I honestly would just eat I would just not eat breakfast. If you eliminate one meal out of the day, you're eliminating a whole 30 of your calories. You'll lose some weight there. Breakfast isn't that big of a deal once you get used to it. It's just those first couple days of not eating breakfast that sucks.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
No, yeah. I don't know. I might have to try that.
They call it the
intermittent fasting or
ladies and gentlemen, when Charlie said the joke about cocaine, that was actually Miles, the You Betcha guy. Please direct all legal liability toward him. I will say on the not eating breakfast thing, what's it called? It's called
intermittent fasting. You just said it.
Oh, you just said it. I was too busy trying to get that legal disclaimer in there. Jeez, Louise. So do you like it? How do you feel when you miss a meal?
I normally will make up for it the next meal. So like I'll overindulge the next meal. So I've been, again, I try to have like smaller snacks throughout the day, and I've tried to make those healthier snacks too. Like I'll bring like a banana and apple to work kind of thing and have those kind of leading up to lunch so I don't overindulge myself at lunch. But
Do you drink a lot of water?
Yeah. No, I don't really drink soda unless it's mixed with alcohol.
There you go. You can just use that excuse, right? I just gained some water weight. I've been drinking a lot of water. That's always a good one.
They say if you drink like a gallon of water a day, that's supposed to help you feel full or something like that.
Yeah, you could get a heavy dose of nicotine as well. That helps suppress your appetite.
Yeah, just start smoking. There you go.
I get enough secondhand smoke at my work because pretty much all my coworkers in our warehouse smoke.
No, you don't want to do that. That's solving one problem with a bigger problem.
Yeah. Question is, you lost 40 pounds. You just want to keep, how many more pounds do you want to lose?
Ideally, probably another 40. Because I'm at about just over 240 right now. So I like to get closer to 200.
How tall are you?
I'm about 6'3". I'm 6'3".
You don't need to lose another 40 pounds. Maybe another 10 and you're good. It's 6'3". Do you feel good?
Yeah. Oh, I feel so much better since I've lost weight. I put on a lot of this weight just, you know, around COVID and all that stuff. So,
well, you know what? You're asking us for advice here. I mean, it seems like you're kind of on the right track in a lot of ways. So if someone out there is like, I want to do what you did, what advice do you have for them? Because that's really impressive, going from 280 to 240.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as much as it sucks, just it's all about like caloric intake versus your like what you're putting out. Like if you're watching your calories and exercising, that's honestly the best way to do it. Try to set regular meals for yourself. Don't overindulge in those meals.
You know, I also would recommend if you want to start shedding weight, I call it the stress diet. So just start a business, hire some employees, get super stressed and just lose weight because you're stressed as hell and you just forget to eat because you're busy. That's a good one, Charlie.
That's not bad.
You know that one.
I know that pretty well. I think you do too.
What do you think of that?
I don't know if I have the financial capital to be able to start my own business right now. I guess I could run to the bank quick and get a loan.
Perfect. But that means more stress. That's what you're not looking for money. You're looking for stress.
Yeah. Let's keep the eye on the prize here.
Yeah.
You know,
start a business you can't afford, lose all your money, get super stressed, and then you don't have any money to buy food. So then you won't eat then too.
Mission accomplished. And who says we don't give good advice here on the Bellied Up podcast? Wait, Miles, isn't there actual advice we can give him? Isn't there somewhere where you change up your workout? Like if you're doing the same workouts all the time, then your body gets used to it. So you just got to like change up your workout and burn.
In a real sense, if you just want to like lose weight, they call it the fat burning zone. So you actually don't want to go as hard as you can every single time. You actually want to keep your heart rate within a certain percentage range and that'll help you drop weight faster.
Really?
Yeah.
No way. Why? What if you go really, really fast? What does that do?
Well, then you hit the anaerobic or the aerobic capacity. Then you're like, your lungs get better, but it's not necessarily me. You will lose weight, but yeah.
Not as much as in the
fat
burning zone?
You won't burn fat as fast.
Interesting. Wow.
So.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, so whenever I work out, I'd like to do like a little bit of, like I'll do like 30 minutes of cardio and then I kind of do a mixture of machines based on if I'm trying to work out my legs more or upper body. Because I normally can only get to the gym about like two, maybe three times a week. So it's
pretty
much leg day or I try to work my upper body.
So Google the fat burning zone and figure out what percentage you're in. So like, I know it's usually like, depending how old you are, it's like 125 to 140 beats per minute. And then if you can just stay in that for 30 minutes, you actually should be pretty close to being able to still have a conversation while you're on the treadmill, and that should help.
Okay. No, that's very useful advice. Thank you, Miles.
Yeah.
Where are you guys drinking at today?
He's going to come over and add a few more LBS.
The real problem. Yeah.
Well, you know, we're over at Duffy's in Fargo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, if you ever get over to Fargo,
I think I've been to Fargo once. So I.
Yeah, next time we're here.
Well, like I said, I'm in Burnsville, Minnesota, so I'm just south of the cities.
Yeah, nice. You're only three and a half hours away. Come on up. We'll be here.
Yeah.
All right, man.
I was wondering if you guys would be closer by, because Charlie, you were just here on this last weekend.
I was.
Saw you on Friday.
Yeah, I did a bunch of shows over there. I had a lot of fun, man. I went over to Paisley Park. You ever been to Paisley Park? Prince's Place?
Oh, no, I haven't. No.
Ah, it's cool. That guy didn't have a lot of weight on him. I'll tell you that.
I think it was probably partly the drugs stuff.
I got one last thing to say. Yeah, are you guys drinking tequila this time?
No tequila.
No
today.
Tequila right now, but give us a little bit.
Why? Okay. Well, if you guys are doing shots of tequila in the future, do chase it with an orange instead of like the salt and lime. The orange, trust me, the orange, like it just neutralizes all like the bad taste of the tequila.
It neutralizes it. It doesn't mask, is what you're saying.
Mask, neutral. I don't know. It does wonders.
Okay.
Wow.
That goes for anyone else drinking tequila out there. I've been pushing my friends on it whenever I've done shots of tequila, and it's a big hit at the parties.
Well, that's a great tip right there. That is a great tip for anyone who doesn't like the floral taste of tequila. You get yourself a nice little orange on there, and then knock it right out. Yeah, that's good. It's like, it makes sense. It's like a margarita.
Yeah.
Well, not really.
Well, I better get into the Menards before my boss calls me and starts wondering where the hell I'm at. So.
All right. Well, you get into that Menards. Save big money there. All right. And watch out for deer. And good luck losing that extra 40
if
that's what you want.
Yeah, you already did a good job. So keep it up.
Yeah, we think you got a nice ass.
Okay? Oh, thanks, boys. You guys have fun today.
All right.
Real good.
We'll see you now.
Stay safe. And try out the tequila with the orange. Trust me.
All right. We'll give that a go. Appreciate
that.
Like
a margarita. All right. Have a good one.
Why you give me shit about
because
the margarita?
Because the margarita got like lime juice in it. That's what kind of makes it a margarita.
I don't drink margaritas. I just drink it straight.
Oh, fancy guy. Okay.
Yeah. I know I'm talking to the guy with the margarita maker.
Yeah, I know I know my way around a Margaritaville machine.
Yeah, you do.
Should we take one more caller, huh?
Let's do it, Miles. Folks, Christmas is almost here, and Tippy Cow is here for you. Stock on up on your Tippy Cow. And
for your stocking. What Tippy. Stocking stuffer.
I mean, this is better than an orange. I don't care how old you're. Never mind.
This is better than an orange, Charlie.
Yeah, it is. For my stocking
but
this
they
year.
Have the orange flavor. That's the orange
I
want.
Oh, yeah. Put
orange
that.
Orange flavored Tippy Cow.
Now how that we're over 21 and of legal drinking age. Put old Tippy Cow in
and
our
honestly,
stocking.
Honestly, very sock shaped.
It is very sock shaped. Yeah.
Kind of. This holiday season, ditch the eggnog. You don't need all that.
Nah.
Switch on over to Tippy Cow. Tip it on back.
Tippy Cow. Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Well, who are we talking to today?
This is Cameron. How's it going, boys?
Cameron. Oh, it's going good, my guy.
Where are you calling from?
I'm in Australia currently, actually.
Oh,
wow.
That's cool. Wow.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. You talk really cool, Cameron.
Yeah. We'll just let him talk for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Just listen.
We'll get our best viewership.
Yeah.
All of the Australians will be upset. It's not even the Australian accent. I'm from New Zealand. So.
Okay. Oh. See, me, I would not know the difference. So
wait,
glad you told me.
Is it Kiwi you got over there?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's me.
See, I'm worldly.
Yeah, what explain that?
I think Kiwi, I hear New Zealand and people say Kiwi, so that's why I said it. Right? Why do people say Kiwi?
Yeah.
You guys grow a lot of Kiwis?
No, it's our national bird. So we call Kiwis a kiwi fruit, and the bird is a kiwi.
Okay.
I should have known that. I like birds. Well,
I want to say you are our first New Zealander Australian on the podcast. Yeah. So thanks for calling in. This is great.
Yeah.
What time is it there?
This time, 7:45 in the morning.
Oh, you're up early.
Wait, so is it?
Yeah.
7:45.
It's November 6th here. Is it November 6th there, or is it November 7th already?
November 7th.
No, he's a time traveler.
He's calling us from the future. Freaking cool, man.
What's it like in the future?
Oh, it's pretty cool here, man. Heaps of cool stuff.
Nice.
Can't tell you about what's going to happen tomorrow. They might mess some things up, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. It's better to just let us experience it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smart. Yeah. See, he's a smart
time traveler. He's seen back to the future.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot affect it.
Next thing, yeah, you start messing with it, pretty soon your mom's going to be coming on to you, you know?
Yeah.
We don't want that.
And then your dad will disappear from your family photos.
Yeah, we don't want that.
No, not at all.
Yeah, well.
All right, well, why don't
you... I'm an Australian. I know some of these Australians are into that.
Is that what they do in Australia?
Yeah. Is there a feud between New Zealand and Australia?
Yeah, there is. There is, actually.
What is it, just you guys just don't like each other, or fun banter?
I think we're like brothers, pretty much.
Okay.
Similar countries.
Yeah, it's kind of like Minnesota and Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, just
a little brotherly love.
Yeah.
Something. Pretty much, yeah.
Well, why don't you belly up to the bar with us? If I know, well, I guess you're not Australian, but I know Australians like to drink. Do New Zealanders like to drink?
Yeah, we love to drink.
Well, belly up then. Tell us what's on your mind. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, I was wanting to state my case, but for the entire country of New Zealand. I think we should be part of the Middle East.
All right.
State your case. Let's hear it.
Country your case. Let's rock and roll.
Yeah, so we are... probably one of the most polite countries you'll ever go to. Everyone's always saying, we say up instead of ope. So it's always up, sorry.
Up, sorry.
We have great lakes.
You got great lakes there, huh? What kind of fish are in those lakes?
Yeah. Trout, mostly. Trout and perch and good fishing, real good fishing.
Oh, you got perch over there, too? That's pretty cool. Trout and perch.
How did they get there?
Yeah, I don't know.
How can we have the same fish in lakes here and in New Zealand? Like, I get the ocean, right? But if they're fresh water, how do they get there?
I think birds eat them, and birds carry them in their mouth. They carry little fish larvae in their mouth, and then they fly across the world, and then they swim in the Australian lakes. Or the New Zealand lakes, and then they populate them with perch.
Is that a fact? You know that for sure?
For sure, it's a fact. Saw it on National Geographic.
Oh.
I didn't see it. But I think it sounds like it makes sense. So, all right. So, okay.
Well, hold on. Is it because very early on in Earth, we all used to be on the same continent, and then we all broke apart?
Oh, yeah. Pangerina. Yeah.
That's Tangerina or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was probably
so
it.
So in reality,
Miles,
we all were neighbors at some point.
Yeah, that's why it also makes sense. New Zealand just broke off of, you know, Iowa. Yeah. So
yeah, it makes total sense.
Yeah, there you got it.
Okay, sorry we got distracted there. What else stating your country here?
Well, I'm not the most familiar with the Midwest, but I don't know. It just feels like we get a lot of American media, and it feels like if New Zealand were to be a state in America, we have to be in the Midwest.
God,
it just seemed like
it's a great rationale.
Pretty much, yeah.
And would you say Australians are your fibs?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you eating Willy Wallaby licorice over there? What are you digging in?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just having my breakfast, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's breakfast.
I'm about to go to work.
I suppose.
What do they eat for breakfast down there in Australia? You having kangaroo or wallaby?
No, you can get kangaroo, actually. You can eat kangaroo. I think the national breakfast here of construction workers and farmers and tradesmen would have to be meat pies.
Meat pie? Meat pie.
A meat pie, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Is that just like a Hot Pocket, but fancier sounding, or what?
I wouldn't have a clue. I don't know what a Hot Pocket is, but we don't have pies with fruit here. Like, you guys have your apple pies and berry and whatnot. We just have meat, steak and cheese and pastry.
I like that. That's nice.
That sounds way better than
a little meat pie. Why try to get healthy at all? Just put a friggin' meat in that pie. What kind of meat's in your pie, Cameron? Or is that an inappropriate question to ask right now?
Oh, it's a steak and cheese.
Steak and cheese.
Steak and cheese for breakfast. I love that.
I love how he said that too. Steak and cheese. Was that a good impression of you or no? Did I go too Australian?
No, that sounds about right, yeah.
Sounds nice. About right.
So are you in the pretty trades? Close. You said that was the official breakfast of the blue-collar worker. Is that what you do for a living?
Yeah. Well, I'm usually a welder, but I'm farming at the moment.
What is?
Can you say that one more time just to scotch slower?
Sorry. I'm usually a welder. But I'm farming at the moment.
Oh, he's usually a welder.
What are you guys farming?
God, that's a cool accent. Do you get a lot of people like interested in you on sort of in kind of like a sexual way because of your accent?
No, but I do have a girlfriend, so I don't think she'd be happy if I did. But we're going to Canada next year.
Oh,
so I'll find out when we get there.
You are gonna get some lookers your way, I tell you that. Tell your girlfriend to be prepared to be a little jelly, okay? And you might have to be. Does she have an accent too?
Yeah, she does. She's from New Zealand as well.
What do you think of the Midwestern accent?
I like it. I reckon of the American accents, the southern draw would have to be out there, and then Midwest, and then all the rest below.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take that. Southern's pretty cool.
Yeah. I want you to do an impression of how you think Charlie talks.
Yeah, let's hear it, because I've been giving you, I've been doing your impression.
Jeez, I'm not really good with accents. We have to be, I don't know what's a phrase I can say.
I'll give you some. I'll say. Jeez, Louise, the Packers look great this year.
Righto. Jeez, Louise, the Packers look great this year.
Not bad. Not bad.
And he lost a little.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. We should do something. I'd like to switch accents with you for just a little bit.
We should just go to New Zealand or Australia and do belly up to the bars there. That would be electric.
Yeah, okay. If we were going to New Zealand, what three bars should we do bellied up from in New Zealand?
You'd have to go to a small town bar. You'd come to my town, the Kaitangata Pub. That's the local. I don't know. I've been to one pub in my life, pretty much same one every week.
What? You've been to one pub in your life? Are you? So you're not?
Yeah, I've been to a few bars, but
That's cool, man.
You can tell that Charlie doesn't hang out with anyone from Australia or New Zealand very often.
No, I mean I'm all about this accent. So you're not much of a drinker yourself.
Oh, no, I drink. In New Zealand, every small town, the first thing that gets put up in a small town is a pub before anything else. So we just have a pub. That's it.
Oh, yeah. I was told by, I have some Australian friends that you guys do a lot of drinking songs. Is that true for New Zealand as well?
Yeah, we have, some chants. They're all disgusting. Cannot say them on the podcast.
No, Sam will bleep them out if we need to.
Yeah, just say one, we'll bleep it out.
Yeah, right. Well, our local rugby club, because that's our sport, our chant is, I want to be a Crescent player, live the life of sex and danger. Here's the girl that I love best. Many times I've sucked her breasts, fucked her standing, fucked her lying. If she had wings, I'd fuck her flying. Now she's dead and long forgotten. Pick her up and fuck her rotten.
Dude, we do the same shit here.
I never heard that one. No.
90% of that.
I've heard that before. We do the same shit here. I've heard some people in bars chanting that before.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Necrophilia. I mean, you know.
Well, it's not real. It's all hypothetical, Charlie.
Yeah, no, theoretically speaking. Well, that's really fun. Thanks
for
sharing.
So I think that's his last bit of state your case.
I think that is.
I think we can officially, if you guys were a state, you'd be in the Midwest. Here, here.
New Zealand, from this point forward, is part of the Midwest. Cheers, cheers.
Cheers, cheers.
Brilliant. We'll get a tugboat and we'll go sit it in the middle of one of those lakes over there.
Yeah.
A tugboat.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like that too. I want to get a tugboat. Yeah, come on over. You come over here. You let us know. We'll find a tugboat.
Yeah, we'll do that. I'll definitely be coming to one of your shows when we come over, Charlie.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You let us know. I'll get you in any show.
Man, since I didn't see you didn't have New Zealand on your tour dates, so I was just looking at them before, but disappointed.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't make it out to New Zealand, because I really would like to get out there. What I'm really interested in, maybe you can answer this before you go, do the perch have accents out there as well?
Yeah, yeah. When you catch them here in Australia, you pull them out and they give you a g'day, mate.
Yeah, it's awesome, dude. That's really cool. Well, we
appreciate it, man.
Yeah, we're coming out. You've convinced us. All right. Well, hey.
Have a good morning.
Yeah, have a good morning, Cameron. Enjoy that that meat pie, huh?
Enjoy the future as well. Tell the future we says hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, will do. Watch out for kangaroos.
I love him.
Yeah. All right, Cameron. Be good now. We see ya.
Cheers, boys. See ya.
Bye-bye.
We got to get down under.
Cheers, boys. Good day.
It sounds so cool to me.
Oh, it's so cool, mate.
What a good guy.
Great guy.
You've never heard that chant before?
Never, mate.
All right. Well,
like your bed. It's a good bite. Got a good bite on you.
You done?
Should we have a drink? Call it a day. Cheers. Cheers to all of you.
Guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Bellied Up Podcast. Charlie's going to be doing this for the rest of the evening, if you guys are wondering.
Cheers, mates.
We love you, and as always, tip your bartender.
Tip your bartender.
See you in the next one.